I felt like we needed it. If there was one thing I knew, it was that talking about sex usually made Chase playful. I caught a bite of my steak and brought the fork to my lips. Have you ever played Would You Rather? His brows drew down.
When I was a kid.
My friend Jules and I play it all the time, usually after a few drinks.
Okay.
I sipped my wine and held his gaze. Would you rather pay for sex or be paid for sex? He cocked a brow.
Be paid. You?
I think I'd rather pay for it.
I like this game.
Chase leaned back in his chair and scratched his chin.
Top or bottom?
Bottom. I paused. You?
Top.
He pointed his fork at me.
See how compatible we are? Lights on or off?
On. You?
On. So I can watch your face while I sink inside of you.
Warmth prickled my skin.
I gulped.
You're not supposed to elaborate. You're only supposed to say your pick.
Why would I do that when giving a more descriptive answer makes your skin turn such a sexy shade of pink?
We went back and forth like that for the rest of our meal, sharing snippets of both sexy and not-so-sexy preferences. It did what I'd intended it to do, lightened the mood. But it also had desire fighting the voice of reason inside of me. And at that moment, desire was kicking reason's ass. After dinner, when Chase and I arrived at our adjoining suites, I felt like I was ending a first date in high school. He took both my hands in his, keeping a few feet between us as he spoke.
Thank you for having dinner with me. And for letting me crash your trip.
You were on the plane when I got on. It's not like I had much of a choice. I was joking, of course.
I'm going to take off after the morning focus group. Head back to New York on an afternoon flight.
You're leaving, why?
Because I keep pushing, hoping you'll break. And tonight, I realized you need to get there on your own. I'll be waiting when you do.
He pulled me to him and planted a kiss on my forehead.
Now go inside before I change my mind and you're up against the door instead of behind it safely.
I leaned my head against the door for a solid 10 minutes once I was inside. After 5, I'd heard Chase's door click open and close, and I wondered if he'd been standing on the other side struggling like I was. I couldn't remember ever wanting another man as badly as I wanted Chase. For a while, I'd thought it was because he was my boss, that exciting feeling of being tempted by the forbidden. But I knew it was more than that. So much more, it scared the hell out of me. I'd been using the fact that he was my boss as an excuse to keep distance. But the truth was, the things I felt around the man terrified me. I hadn't exactly been lucky in love. Neither had my parents. Could I find true love in the shadow of another woman? I was afraid. And I was also tired of being afraid. That realization made me think of his tattoo. Fear does not stop death. It stops life. 8 little words, yet it held the story of both of our lives. As I took a deep breath, it hit me that I hadn't turned on the lights in my room yet. That was totally unusual for me. Ordinarily, I'd have performed my sweep of the room within 10 seconds of entering, checking in the closet and shower, looking under the ever-intimidating bed. Sighing, I forced myself not to look, even though it was now gnawing at me since I'd mentally acknowledged I'd been remiss. At least there was one fear I wasn't going to allow to control me tonight. Lying on the floor of my hotel room in the dark, I felt dizzy from my mind spinning. I kept replaying bits and pieces of the conversations we'd had over the last month in my head. At his house. If you weren't seeing someone, I'd have you up on that kitchen island showing you what I want to do to you rather than telling you. I wanted him to show me in the worst way. In the cab, after too much to drink at the club, my sleepy head resting on his warm thighs and brushing against his erection as I sat up when we arrived at my building. I wanted to feel him, wrap my fingers around his hard-on and watch his face as I slid my hand up and down. In his office. Get out of that wet shirt before I help you out of it right in the middle of my office with the blinds open. God, I wanted him to rip my damn shirt off. Closing my eyes, my hand slid down my body. He was right on the other side of that door. Would he hear me if I brought myself to orgasm? A part of me hoped he would. My hand skimmed over the lace of my underwear once, then a second time, lingering over the sensitive front before slipping inside. My clit was already swollen just thinking about Chase. It was definitely not going to take long. Two fingers gently circled, massaging. Imagining it was Chase's hand instead of my own, I quickly increased pressure as I found my rhythm. Images swept through my head. Chase finally looking up at me that first night in the hallway of the restaurant. God, he is gorgeous. Shirtless at the gym, beads of water trickling down his carved chest. My breathing sped up. Today, outside the fitting room, the way he looked at me, his eyes stripping away anything in his way. His words. I'm attracted to everything about you. God. Oh, God. So close. So fast. Until a loud knock made me jump. Jesus. I sprang upright, my breathing erratic like I just sprinted a marathon.
Reese?
Chase's voice called. He'd knocked on the interior door between our rooms. I cleared my throat. Yes?
Can I borrow your iPhone charger? I forgot to pick one up today.
Sure, give me a minute to find it. My hands were shaking as I turned on the light and began to rip apart my overnight bag in search of my charger. What the hell am I doing? Finding it, I took a deep breath and steadied myself for 30 seconds before opening the door between us. I couldn't look him in the eye. Here you go, I said to his shoulder.
Thanks.
My voice sounded odd, even to me. The pitch was high and I was talking way too fast in one long, run-on, unpunctuated sentence. You're welcome. You can keep it. I don't need it until the morning. I was just going to go to bed anyway. Chase's brow was furrowed when I glanced up.
Are you okay?
I'm fine. Why wouldn't I be?
He wasn't buying it.
I don't know.
Looking over my shoulder, he checked out my room.
What were you doing?
Nothing. I responded way too fast.
Nothing, huh?
My face was flushed, and I could feel a sheen of perspiration on my forehead and cheeks. But damn, if I wasn't going to try to lie my way right through it. Chase's eyes trailed down the length of my body, and then our gazes locked. And I knew. He knew. He knew. I could actually see his pupils dilate when he realized it. After an intense stare-off, during which I thought it was entirely possible I might melt from the heat, he simply said,
"Good night, Reese."
I'd just begun to breathe again when he stopped the door from closing at the last second. Reaching down, he took my hand and cupped it in his. Then he slowly brought it to his face and closed his eyes.
When he inhaled deeply, smelling the hand I'd just touched myself with, I wanted to die. I wanted to die. It was the most embarrassing, yet most erotic thing I'd ever seen in my life. My body shook, the ache between my legs unbearable. I couldn't move. I couldn't say a word. I just stood there, watching him breathe my scent in and out. When he finally opened his eyes and a groan came from his lips, I was done. So done. I launched myself at him, throwing my arms around his neck. I quit. He wrapped his arm around my waist, and with one quick hitch, he lifted me up.
It's about damn time.
My legs wrapped around him, and he turned, backing me into the open door between our rooms. One of his hands unraveled my tied-up hair so it fell loose, only to have Chase wrap it around his hand, closing his fist tightly around it. He gave it a good, strong yank so my head bent back, and then his mouth crashed down on mine. I swear, I almost came right there. Our mouths opened, and tongues frantically collided. He tasted insanely good, and I never wanted to come up for air. I didn't care if I died of asphyxiation. I died deliriously happy. He pressed himself harder into me, his erection straining through his pants. Since I was still wearing a dress and my legs were wrapped around him, I was effectively wide open, spread-eagled as he pushed harder against me. I moaned when he rubbed himself up and down. The sheer fabric of my panties allowed the friction of his zipper to spark like a rock to flint, and my body ignited. Chase mumbled into my mouth.
Do you feel what you do to me? What you've done to me since that first night?
He made a low, husky sound that came from deep in his throat and bit down on my bottom lip, tugging at it before he released my mouth. Reaching behind his neck, he took one of my hands, sliding it between us until I covered the top of his cock. When my fingers tightened around it, he growled and deepened the kiss. I loved how needy he sounded, as if he had been waiting for this moment forever. Lord knows, it felt like I had waited an eternity. Eventually, I'm not even really sure how, we made our way into my bedroom. Chase laid me down gently on the bed and hovered over me. When I reached up and touched his cheek, he turned and kissed the inside of my palm.
You're so beautiful. I can't wait to see all of you.
He buried his nose in my hair and whispered in my ear.
Can't wait to taste all of you.
I held my breath as he kissed his way from my neck down the exposed skin on my chest and stopped at my cleavage. My wrap dress had a tie at the right side. Chase leaned to his left, trailing his hand down my body to tug at the bow. He spread the fabric open and pulled his head back to take a good look at my body. Focusing on my breasts, he leaned in and licked a line from the top of my breastbone down into my cleavage. Shivers spilled over me and goosebumps littered my skin. My nipples hardened and pushed through the lace of my bra, begging for attention. God, I want his mouth on me. Using his thumb, he pushed down the cup of my bra and sucked in my left nipple. Hard. His eyes watched me constantly, taking in my response to his touches. When my eyes flitted closed, he did it a second time before turning his attention to my other breast. After a few minutes, he continued his exploring, his mouth lowering to trail a string of kisses over my stomach. Lower, then lower. He placed a gentle kiss on my panties and spoke with his lips vibrating right on my clit.
Were you thinking of me when your fingers were inside of you?
He hooked a thumb under the side of my panties and began to slide my underwear off.
Say it. Tell me you thought of me while your fingers were in this pussy.
Settling between my legs, he sucked my clit into his mouth, swirling his tongue while applying the perfect amount of pressure. It felt heavenly, and my hands dug into his hair, never wanting him to stop. Then suddenly he did.
"Tell me."
I would have sworn I was Queen Elizabeth if it meant his mouth was back on me. Admitting the truth felt like a small price to pay. "You're the only person I've thought about while I've touched myself since the day I met you." Chase's eyes blazed triumphantly, and his mouth returned. He didn't tease this time. No, he sucked and licked until I was sufficiently wet, and then added his fingers. It all built so fast, so furiously. Fingers pumping in and out, tongues sucking and swirling. My body began to tremble and tighten, my heels digging into the mattress, fingers pulling at his hair. The steep climb up the roller coaster was quick, and I felt the anticipation everywhere. God, it felt good. So good. I let out a sound that was a cross between a moan and a chant of his name. My back arched off the bed, and Chase used one hand to hold me down as he pushed his mouth farther into me. It's all too much. Not nearly enough. Oh, God. Oh, God. I reached the top of the roller coaster and teetered briefly for a second before I was free-falling, sliding, barreling uncontrollably. I didn't feel my legs. I didn't feel anything in the moment except pure, unadulterated ecstasy. It was so good, so breathtaking that my eyes actually started to well a little. My breathing was still erratic when Chase climbed back up my body and took my mouth again. The kiss was so different from the frenzy of a few minutes ago. Beautiful, languid, gentle. He stroked my hair as our tongues twined and cupped my face as he broke the kiss.
"I'll be right back."
He disappeared for a moment and then returned with his wallet, pulling out a strip of condoms and tossing them on the nightstand. I eyed them. "Big plans?" He started to undress.
"You have no fucking idea."
The way he looked at me while he shed his clothes, determination on his beautiful face, made my sated body spring to life again. He wasn't my first, wasn't even my second or third, but something about the way he looked at me made me feel like he was. Like it was going to be my first real time, and I had no idea why. Chase was a beautiful man. That much anyone could see. But when he stripped out of his clothes, I realized just how crazy perfect he really was. His chest was chiseled, pecs firm above a deeply carved six-pack, and his thighs were thick and powerful. And that nipple ring. I couldn't wait to have it between my teeth. As he stood there in tight, black boxer briefs, I was glad he'd given me a minute to prepare myself before he unveiled what was beneath. He hooked his thumbs into the waistband of his briefs and bent to step out of them. When he stood, my mouth hung open. Lord have mercy. The man truly had the full package, and by that, I didn't mean good looks, charm, and money. No. Chase had a damn full package. His cock was ridiculously thick and rigid. Already fully erect, it bobbed flush against him, reaching almost to his navel. I licked my lips as he tore a condom from the strip, grasping it between his teeth and ripping the foil open. Watching my face, he said,
"You're going to be the death of me, aren't you?"
He took my hands in his as he climbed over me, weaving our fingers together and pulling them up over my head. He kissed my lips gently and then lifted his head to look into my eyes. Our gaze held for the longest time, even as he slowly pushed into me. I was wet, soaked even, as ready as I could be for him. Fuck, Chase muttered, and his eyes briefly closed.
You're so wet.
He eased in and out a few times, being cautious and relaxing me enough to accept his girth without hurting. Once he'd sufficiently broken me in, he began to move in and out rhythmically with more intensity. Gentle thrusts became hard. Easing became rooting deep into my body. The only thing that didn't change was the way Chase looked at me. He stared into my eyes like he could see inside me. It made me feel exposed, yet beautifully accepted. Everything in the background faded away except the sound of our breathing. When I moaned, he smashed his lips to mine, seeming to need to swallow the sound of my coming undone. I pulled at his hair as I climbed closer, and his breathing became short, shallow spurts. I started, but my body beat me to the finish. Oh, God. Chase bit down on my shoulder, sending my slowly building orgasm into overdrive. It came over me like a tsunami, grabbing me and pulling me under. My muscles began pulsating, and my hooded eyes looked up at Chase. He saw it on my face, felt it inside my body, and quickened his pace, working toward his own release. Finally, he ground down one last time, burying himself as deeply as he possibly could, and let out a groan as he released. Unlike my previous lovers, he didn't collapse and roll over abruptly after his finish. Instead, he kissed me softly until he had to pull out, then got up to dispose of the condom. When he came back, he had a warm face cloth, which he used to wash me. Then he grabbed a bottle of water from the mini-fridge and we shared it, passing it back and forth, both of us still naked. After all of the adrenaline running high for so long, suddenly I started to crash. I yawned, and Chase tossed the empty bottle on the nightstand. He lifted me on top of him and lay back, positioning me over his body. My head on his heart. His heartbeat was soothing as he stroked my hair.
Get some sleep, he said softly. We have a long day tomorrow, and we have to be up early.
I liked the idea of getting some sleep. It had been so long since I'd felt this relaxed, this safe. Already groggy, I said, okay. We don't have to be at the focus group until 10. He kissed the top of my head.
I know, but we're going to need a few hours for round 2.
Chapter 20. Reese. I woke to movement in the bed. The room was dark, and my innate reaction was fear, until my eyes began to focus and I remembered where I was. Chase was flailing around and mumbling something in his sleep. The only other person I'd ever witnessed having nightmares was my brother Owen, after the break-in. He would cry in his sleep. Some nights it became too much, and my mother would wake him and console him. I wasn't sure if I should let Chase sleep through this or not. He was so restless and seemed so tormented. It was hard to watch him suffer, so I decided to try nudging him a little. Maybe just enough to bring him out of whatever was going on in his head. Reaching for his shoulder, I gently tapped. Chase? I almost jumped off the bed when he abruptly bolted upright. He seemed confused at first.
What? What? Are you okay?
He was breathing heavy, his chest heaving. With my hand still clutched over my rapidly beating heart, I said, "Yes, yes, I'm fine. I think you were having a nightmare." Chase raked his fingers through his hair.
"I'm sorry. You're sure you're okay?"
"I'm perfectly fine." Appeased, he blew out a deep breath and slipped from the bed, heading to the bathroom. He stayed in there a long time before the door opened again. The bed dipped when he returned, but he didn't immediately lie down. Instead, he sat on the edge of the mattress with his elbows on his knees, head hanging low and his back to me. I reached out and touched his bare skin. Do you want to talk about it?
Not really. I've just started having them again. Hadn't had one in a few years before that. Not that I was aware of, anyway.
Are they about your fiancé? He nodded.
I'm sorry.
There's nothing to be sorry about. My brother had them for a while after the break-in. I don't want to push, but maybe it will help if you talk about it.
Chase was quiet for a long moment.
I finally got you into my bed. The last thing I want to do is talk to you about another woman while we're in it.
I sat up and crawled to where he was sitting. Wearing only the panties I'd put on while he was in the bathroom, I straddled him from behind, wrapping my arms around his waist, my cheek pressed to his shoulder, and my bare breasts smushed against his back. He still smelled so good, woodsy with a delicious masculinity.
"We're not in your bed," I told him. "We're in my hotel room."
"There's no room for anyone else when it's me, you, and any bed."
My arms squeezed around his waist.
"Well, I'm here, if you want to talk."
Chase twisted his body to face me, one large hand wrapped around my throat while his thumb stroked the hollow of my neck. He leaned in to run his tongue over a pulsating vein.
"I don't want to talk."
"But..."
I tried to argue, but his lips were already at my ear.
"Shh,"
he whispered.
"No talking. My mouth has other plans."
Before I'd realized he was moving, he dropped to his knees and pulled my ass to the edge of the bed. What he did with his mouth after that was far better than talking anyway.
We arrived at the focus group ahead of schedule and worked together setting up the display. Earlier, we'd eaten eggs and fruit naked in bed while discussing some questions I'd been considering adding to the moderator's list. Elaine came to greet us, and even though I'd been the one to give her the list of things we decided to change, she still addressed her questions to Chase.
"What do you think about modifying question 11 to make it a yes-no response and then having the moderator talk about the question in group discussion to get oral feedback?"
I loved that Chase directed her to me for an answer.
"Whatever Reese thinks. She's the boss. Only brought me to carry her bags."
While we walked through finalizing the changes, Chase's cell rang, and he excused himself, leaving just Elaine and me in the room.
"Can I ask you a personal question, Reese?" she said.
Sure.
"Are you seeing anyone?"
I had no idea how to answer. I mean, was I seeing someone? Chase and I had had sex 3 times since last night, but we hadn't exactly put a label on it.
"Sort of. I mean, I recently met someone." "So it's not serious?"
"It's still very new."
"Well, my brother just moved to New York, and I was hoping it would be okay to give him your number. Maybe let him buy you a drink or something. I don't usually fix people up, but I think you two would get along."
Luckily, the moderator came in and interrupted Elaine's attempt at matchmaking. The participants for the focus groups had started arriving, and things got busy after that. I spent all morning on the other side of the one-way glass, listening, watching, and taking notes. Chase alternated between business phone calls, catching up on emails, and taking in bits and pieces of the study. At one point, we were alone in the room, and I sat on a stool near the window. Chase walked up behind me and cupped one of my breasts. Kneading it, he said,
"I love one-way mirrors."
I elbowed him.
"Stop it. Someone might walk in."
He wound my hair around his hand and tugged my head back to expose my neck. I'd noticed that seemed to be his thing.
It was also fast becoming my thing, too.
I'll lock the door.
My eyes closed, succumbing against my better judgment. We're at work.
That'll make it more exciting.
A knock on the other side of the glass startled me, and I almost fell off the stool. Luckily, Chase steadied me, his hands catching my shoulders and keeping me upright as I bobbled. He chuckled behind me as Elaine held up 5 fingers, letting us know we would break for lunch in a few.
No problem, Elaine,
he said, even though she couldn't hear him.
I can be done in 5 minutes. I'm pretty sure Reese is wet already anyway.
You're such a perv. He spun my stool around to face him and took my face in his hands.
What do you say we go back to the hotel for lunch?
I squinted. To eat?
Pussy, yes.
I squirmed a little. All this time, I've been worried about what would happen at work when things end. I should have been worried about what would happen at work when things got started.
I see nothing but good things happening at work in our future.
Is that so?
It is. The first night we get back to the office, I'm going to bend you over my desk and fuck you from behind while you watch the city light up in the dark.
I swallowed. That's probably a no-no in the employee handbook.
I'll have to fix that promptly. You know what else I can't wait to do with you?
What?
I want you on your knees while I sit at my desk.
While you sit at your desk? He nodded slowly.
I want to look down and watch your head rise and fall as you take my cock into your throat.
He tugged my hair.
I'm going to hold a fistful of your hair and keep you there until you swallow every last drop of my cum.
What probably should have been concerning to me about the state of my future employment was, instead, totally working for me. His dirty mouth totally worked for me. What else? I breathed.
The conference room table? I want to spread you on the top of the glass and lick your juicy little cunt until the entire office hears you moaning the boss's name.
I let out a shaky laugh. I think you've lost it, boss man. Chase's back was to the door when it opened, blocking the view of anything going on between us. He leisurely unwound his hand from my hair.
You two want to grab a bite to eat or order in? Elaine asked.
Chase looked to me. I tried to hide my coquettish smile as I lied. Actually, Chase has a telephone conference he needs to do at lunch, so we're going to head back to the hotel for an hour.
Do you want me to order you something for when you get back?
No, but thank you. I'll make sure he gets something to eat at the hotel while he's busy playing boss. For the rest of the day, Chase and I were busy, but exchanged flirtatious glances all afternoon. Even though a part of me still worried it was stupid to get involved, I was starting to not give a damn about the consequences if it meant spending my days feeling like this. I honestly couldn't remember the last time I'd been this giddy over a guy, and it felt good. Really good. At the end of the sessions, Elaine schmoozed us into having dinner with her. She was pushy and made it hard to say no. During drinks, we sat around in the bar and talked shop, but then things turned personal.
So, are you single, Chase?
She asked. My eyes immediately jumped to his. He responded to her while looking at me.
I'm not married, no, but I'm seeing someone.
She nodded.
I swear, I never play matchmaker, but I had a friend in mind for you, too.
Two?
She had his attention now.
Yes, I'm going to fix Reese up. My brother recently moved to the city, and I think they'll hit it off.
Chase's eyebrows raised, and he looked at me. I had no idea what to say, so I just sat there. I couldn't backtrack now without sounding like an idiot. just figured I'd blow her brother off if she did have him contact me. Chase had a different idea on the approach. He took a long draw on his beer and said,
I thought you were seeing someone, Reese.
I am. Well, sort of. It's new.
This new guy. He doesn't mind you going out with other people?
I wanted to smack him. He was enjoying how uncomfortable the conversation made me. I don't know, actually. We haven't discussed it. He finished his beer.
I'd put my money on him having no plans to share you.
His comment made me feel warm, though I should have known better than to expect him to stop there. He spoke to Elaine with a straight face.
She's dating her cousin.
Her cousin?
They're second cousins. Met at her great-uncle's funeral last week.
Elaine had no idea what to say. When she looked at me, she must have mistaken bewilderment for grief. I'm so sorry for your loss. I caught Chase's grin as he pulled his ringing cell from his pocket.
Excuse me for a minute.
When he came back, he was less playful. Quiet, even. I wasn't sure if the call he'd received was on his mind, or if Elaine fixing me up with her brother had actually bothered him more than he let on. But something was off. Elaine didn't seem to notice it, though. We talked about marketing for most of the rest of the evening, which was usually one of my favorite things to discuss. Yet I found myself preoccupied with Chase's lack of participation. At the hotel, things were pretty much the same. It was late, and we'd had one hell of a long day, beginning at 4 o'clock this morning. Chase took a shower in his room while I washed up and changed. He came into my bathroom while I was brushing my teeth.
Can I borrow your charger again?
I spit out a mouthful of toothpaste. Sure. It should be plugged in on the desk. I don't know why, but I assumed when he asked me for the charger, he meant he was taking it to his room, not spending the night in mine again. So I was surprised when I found him plugging it in on his side of the bed. His side of the bed. Well, that happened awfully quick. Grabbing my moisturizer, I sat on the chair at the desk and pumped it a few times, squirting the white cream into my hand. I'd begun to rub it into my legs when Chase said,
Come here. Let me do that.
I handed him the lotion and sat at the bottom of the bed, extending my legs in his direction. He stared at them while he rubbed, his fingers massaging more than needed to work in the lotion. Is everything okay? I asked. He nodded. It wasn't very convincing. Are you upset because of the thing with Elaine's brother? Because she just caught me unexpectedly. I wasn't really planning on going out with him. I would at least be upfront if I was planning on dating someone else. He had been working his thumb into my calf, kneading a muscle that was cramped from 12 hours in high heels when his hand abruptly stopped and he looked up at me.
You're planning on dating someone else?
No. Well, I know we talked about not dating other people, but I wasn't sure.
I'm sure,
he interrupted. You are?
I'm not sure how we got here or where we're going. But I'm damn sure I don't want to share you.
He'd said exactly what I felt. I don't want to share you either.
Good. Then it's settled.
It is. I smiled and then motioned to my legs. Now rub more. That feels good.
Yes, ma'am.
Although the air between us was clear, I suspected something was still on Chase's mind when he turned off the light. Pulling me onto his chest, he stroked my hair in the dark.
The call at dinner tonight? It was the detective from Peyton's case.
I turned, propping my head atop my hands on his chest and looking up at him. Everything okay?
Yeah. Since it's technically an open case, she still comes around once a year and touches base.
Told her I'd see her next week.
That must be hard on you.
Just odd timing. It had been a few years since I'd had a nightmare. Started happening again a few weeks ago, and then tonight she called.
Do they check in with you at the same time every year? Maybe it's been in the back of your mind that it's coming up, and that prompted your subconscious back into action. He nodded, like it made sense.
Maybe.
I crawled up his body and planted a kiss on his lips. Thank you for sharing that with me. It means a lot.
Chapter 21. Chase, 7 years ago. My phone buzzed on my desk. I picked it up and barked without saying hello. You're late. Did you really expect me early? Peyton asked. I knew she was smiling from her voice. I shook my head and smiled back, even though I wasn't happy she was late. Again. Where are you?
I got out later than I thought and had to make a stop. Go on without me. I'll meet you at the restaurant instead of your office.
For an actress, she really needed to work on being less transparent. Where are you heading, Peyton?
Just running an errand for Little East.
Running an errand or following Eddie?
Aren't they the same thing?
No, they're not. Please tell me you're not heading uptown again to that homeless camp. She was quiet. Damn it, Peyton, I thought we agreed you weren't going to do this shit anymore.
No, you told me I wasn't going to. That's not the same as agreeing.
I dragged my fingers through my hair. Wait for me at the coffee shop on 151st Street when you get off the subway.
I'm fine.
Peyton?
You're being overprotective. Is this what it's going to be like when we're married? Are you going to expect me barefoot and pregnant, waiting with your slippers at the door?
I'd proposed 2 days ago. It was probably not a good idea to tell her I'd love exactly that. At least then I'd know what the hell she was up to. I grabbed my suit jacket from the closet of my office and headed for the elevator. I'm on my way, you pain in the ass. Out on the sidewalk, I called my sister as I trekked to the subway to tell her we would be late.
You're going to be late to your own engagement celebration?
This thing was your idea, not mine. You look for any excuse to throw a party.
My little brother is getting married. It's a big deal, not an excuse. God knows we all thought you'd die from some STD before Peyton came along.
This is not a discussion we're having. We're going to be late because my bride-to-be thinks she's Columbo. I gotta go.
Who?
Forget it. I'll see you in a bit. And thanks, Anna. By the time I exited the subway up on 151st Street, it had started pouring. As soon as I could get cell service, I called Peyton's phone. She didn't answer. Fuck. I grumbled to myself and went to stand against the nearest building. Rain pelted down diagonally, and I had to cover my phone with one hand just to keep it dry. I hit redial and waited for Peyton to answer. She didn't. God damn it. I knew the makeshift homeless community wasn't far, and I assumed Peyton hadn't bothered to wait. Pulling up Google Maps on my phone, I found the area of the park with the trestle. It was only 3 blocks away, so I started to walk in the rain. Every 30 seconds, I hit redial. I grew more and more anxious each time the ringing went to voicemail. There was a strange feeling in the pit of my stomach, and after the third unanswered call, something made me start to jog. Another redial. Another voicemail. I turned the corner and saw the area under the trestle that Peyton had described off in the distance. Another redial. Peyton's voice came on, telling me to leave a message at the tone. Something felt off, horribly off. My jog turned into a run. By the time my phone vibrated in my pocket, my heart was pounding in my chest. Seeing Peyton's face flash on the screen should have calmed me, but for some reason it didn't.
Chase, where are you?
Her voice was shaky. I could tell she was scared. Where are you? She didn't answer.
Peyton, goddammit, where are you?
The clank of the cell phone tumbling to the ground was loud in my ear. But it was what came next that would haunt me for years to come.
Chapter 22. Reese. I woke to the sound of Chase gasping for air. It was a gritty, raw, ear-splitting noise that felt like it should come after being pummeled in the gut. There was no hesitation before I woke him this time. "Chase, wake up!" I shook him vigorously. His eyes flew open and he stared at me, yet I could tell he didn't actually see me. "You were having another nightmare." He blinked a few times, and his vision came into focus.
"Are you okay?"
he asked. "I'm fine, but you sounded like you couldn't breathe. I wasn't sure if it was a nightmare or you were really having some sort of respiratory distress." Chase sat up. His face was damp with sweat, and he wiped his forehead with the back of his hand.
"Sorry I woke you."
Just like yesterday, he got out of bed and spent 10 minutes in the bathroom with the water running. When he returned, he sat on the edge of the bed again, so I followed suit and straddled him from behind. Only this morning, I was wearing a t-shirt. "You okay?" I asked. He nodded. "Anything I can do?"
"You could take off the shirt. Your tits pressed up against my back does a lot to stop the nightmares."
I pointed out the obvious. "You're already awake. I don't think that would help with this morning's nightmares."
"Maybe not, but there's always tomorrow."
I smiled, leaned back, and lifted my shirt over my head. Pressing my bare skin to his, I asked, "Better?"
"Sure is."
We stayed like that for a good 10 minutes, our breaths synchronizing in the quiet, dark room.
"Peyton's dad took off when she was little, and her mother and her two sisters ate all their meals in a shelter for a while. When Peyton got older, she wanted to give back, so she volunteered at a few local soup kitchens. She made friends with this one guy, Eddie. He had issues with people coming too close to him, so he refused to sleep in the shelters. Eddie was being harassed by a group of teenagers. They'd show up at night at a homeless camp, where a lot of people who had nowhere else to go slept, and start trouble. It was a game they played. Every few days he'd come in with a gash on his head or bruises."
"That's horrible."
"Yeah. Peyton went to the police, but they didn't do much. Eddie didn't speak more than a word or two here and there, and Peyton couldn't let it go. She started following him at night to see where he was staying, thinking if she gave the police more specifics, they might look into it further. I told her it wasn't safe, but she didn't listen. The day of our engagement party, Eddie showed up at the shelter with a broken nose and 2 black eyes. Peyton had figured out where he was staying and went down there that night to see if she could pry more information out of others since Eddie didn't talk much. She was supposed to wait for me at the train station."
"Oh, God."
"I found her a few minutes too late. Eddie was cradling her and rocking back and forth, sitting in a pool of her blood. Knife wound. She must have gotten in the way of their game of beating up homeless people."
He took a deep breath, in and out.
"She was gone before they got her in the ambulance."
My throat burned, and tears stung my eyes as they slid down my face. Chase must have felt the wetness on his back.
"Are you crying?"
The passage from my chest to my lips was clogged. It was hard to speak.
"I'm so sorry that happened to you, Chase. I can't even imagine what you went through."
"I didn't tell you to get you upset. I wanted you to know so there's nothing between us. I hate that the nightmares came back at all, but this is the first time I've felt anything more than physical for someone since Peyton, and I don't want to screw it up before it even has a chance to get started."
"You're not screwing things up. Just the opposite." Chase turned, pulling me from behind him onto his lap. pushing a piece of hair behind my ear, he said,
"I'm not the hero your brother is."
My eyebrows drew together. "What are you talking about?" He shook his head.
"I didn't keep Peyton safe."
"Keep her safe? What happened wasn't your fault. How could it be?"
"I should have been there with her."
"Chase, that's crazy. You can't be with someone 24 hours a day to protect them. It's not like you put the knife in the killer's hand. People need to take responsibility for their own protection. That's why I'm the way I am. My own experiences have made me even more aware of that." Chase looked into my eyes, like he was searching for sincerity. When he found it, which of course he did, because I'd meant every word I said from the bottom of my heart, he nodded and kissed my lips gently. He exhaled, and I actually felt the tension leave his body. Checking the bedside alarm clock, he said,
"It's not even 5 o'clock. Why don't we try to get some sleep?"
I wasn't sure if it was appropriate or not, but I wanted to make him feel better, get his mind off of the sadness of the past. Neither one of us could change what had happened in our lives, but we could leave it there and move forward and continue to live. My eyelashes fluttered before I spoke from beneath them.
"I'm not sleepy."
"No?"
I shook my head back and forth slowly. The timbre of his voice dropped.
"What did you have in mind?"
"Maybe a little of this."
Dipping my head, I kissed his pectoral muscle. Working my way up, I alternated between gentle licking and sucking until I reached his jaw. My tongue trailed from one end of his beautiful mouth to the other, planting a soft kiss at the corner of his lips. Turning his head to catch my lips with his, Chase kissed me deeply. The kiss felt different than the others we'd shared. More intense, more passionate, more meaningful. If our kisses were each a story, this was the one where the hero got the girl and they rode off into the sunset. For the next hour, we shared more than just our bodies. The sun had begun to rise, casting a golden hue across the room as Chase slowly moved in and out of me. It was beautiful and tender, and I felt it in a place I never knew another human being could touch. My soul. We had an evening flight home after the second day of focus groups wrapped. After working side by side during the day and sleeping wrapped in each other's arms, a feeling of melancholy washed over me as we drove to the airport. I looked out the town car window, lost in thought, as Chase spoke on an overseas conference call with one of his manufacturers. He covered the phone and leaned toward me, pointing to a large billboard up ahead.
"You want to go, don't you?"
It was an advertisement for the Wizard of Oz Museum. After he hung up, he surprised me by reaching over and hauling me snugly against him.
"You're awfully quiet."
"You were on the phone."
"You've been sitting as far away from me as you can possibly get and staring out the window. What's on your mind, Buttercup?"
"Nothing. Just a long day."
"You sure?"
I thought for a minute. I wasn't the least bit tired. That's not what was casting a shadow of gloom over me. So why was I lying? Why hide what I was thinking about? I turned to face him. "Actually, no, I'm lying. Something's been on my mind all day." He nodded.
"Okay. Lay it on me."
"Well, I enjoyed my time here with you."
"I enjoyed my time inside of you as well."
I laughed. Not exactly what I said, but let's go with it. "I guess I'm concerned about what happens when we go back to reality."
"I thought we'd already discussed that. Bending you over my desk, underneath it, on your knees. Conference room table. You have a full schedule once we're back in the office."
He tugged at the material of his slacks.
Fuck. I can't wait to get back to work. Maybe we should go in when we land tonight.
I playfully nudged his shoulder. I'm serious.
So am I. I treat fucking you with the utmost sincerity.
Well, utmost sincerity or not, I don't think any of it should be happening in the office. His face fell, as if I'd just told him there was no Easter Bunny.
No office sex?
I'm not sure it's a good idea that anyone finds out.
I'll close the blinds.
It would probably be safer if we kept our distance at work. Obviously, we'll be in meetings together at times, but no inappropriate touching.
Safer for whom?
That was a pretty damn good question. Me?
Are you asking me or telling me?
I'm new. I want to earn people listening to what I have to say, not have them nod their head because I'm screwing the boss. And when, you know, we aren't together anymore, it's going to be weird enough between the two of us. Having the entire office watching our interactions would just make it worse. Chase grew quiet. He looked out the window, and the distance between us widened even though we were sitting side by side.
Whatever you want.
Arriving at the airport, we breezed through security and had more than an hour to kill before we boarded our 9 p.m. flight. So we went to the first-class lounge. Chase had gone to the men's room while I ordered us drinks at the complimentary bar. A nice-looking, young guy walked up next to me as the bartender opened a new bottle of Pinot Noir.
"Can I buy you a drink?"
I smiled politely. "They're free."
"Damn, I forgot. I'll buy you two, then."
I laughed. "I'm good, but thanks anyway, big spender." The bartender set my glass of wine on the bar and went to work making Chase's drink. I studied the electronic flight board hanging above the bar to check that ours was still on time. Watching me scrutinize the chart, the guy next to me said,
"My flight's been delayed twice already. Where are you heading tonight?"
I was about to respond when a deep voice behind me beat me to it.
"My house."
The guy took one look at Chase, who stood close at my back, his hand wrapped possessively around my waist, and nodded.
"Got it."
Taking our drinks, we sat at a quiet booth in the corner. "I didn't take you for the possessive type." Chase looked at me over his drink as he sipped.
"I'm not, usually. Yet I feel very greedy when I look at you. I don't want any other man to even come close."
Our eyes met. "Is that why you're upset with me? Because you're feeling territorial and I don't want anyone in the office to know about us?"
"No."
"Then what is it? You've been quiet for the last half hour, ever since we talked in the car." Chase looked away, his eyes roaming the room as he collected his thoughts before he looked back.
"You said when, not if."
I furrowed my brow.
"In the car, when you were talking about how you didn't want things uncomfortable in the office, you said when we aren't together anymore, not if we aren't together anymore. You've already planned our breakup in your head and how it will impact you at work."
"I did not..." "Oh my God. He's right. I'd skipped right past the relationship part and was already worried about how our demise was going to affect me. Talk about not giving something new a chance." "You're right. I'm sorry. It's just that I don't exactly have a good track record with relationships. And I left a job I loved over my last office romance. I guess I'm using my past to set expectations about the future." Chase watched me intently.
"No expectations, no disappointment."
I don't know why, but admitting that as the truth made me embarrassed. I looked down. "I guess." Chase leaned in. Touching my chin, he gently lifted.
"Give it a chance. I might
be the one who doesn't disappoint you.
Chapter 23. Reese.
Predatory. That was the only way to describe how Chase looked at me when I walked into his office.